Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Wednesday, September 10th, 2014. Wendy Wilson will be joining us for this first segment of the program. And as a reminder, tomorrow we'll have James Corbett interviewed by Alfred later this evening to be played for tomorrow. So make sure you tune in. Good afternoon, Al.
Well, Melody.
Well, another tough day for gold, although it's beginning to have a little bit of a reversal here late in the late trading day, 1250, down 590. It was up till the markets opened, and then, of course, it just headed south. Silver was down 7 cents today, still 1899. My eyes are playing a trick on me. Platinum was down $7 at $13.87, and you also have palladium down $8 at $8.55. USDX today trading higher, 0.13 at $84.28. Crude oil being hit, slaughtered, down another buck at $91.69. What's interesting is all the articles I read, Al, gasoline prices are rising. They're really not going down. And even though we've seen this big hit on oil here in the last 30 days or so, no reflection in our gasoline prices. So,
why am I not surprised?
Kind of interesting. No, man,
it's interesting, but it's not surprising.
People are just used to it. Don't let it go down, man. What would I do with that extra 50 cents?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I can go and have another Twinkie with my...
A Twinkie. I thought you said a Twinkie.
No.
I was wondering, what are Twinkies?
No, a Twinkie.
Okay.
Not twerking.
With Twinkies. Twinkies are
as old
as I
am,
very nearly, but Twinkies, I don't know what Twinkies are.
It doesn't have anything to do with twerking. It's Twinkies.
Well, I hope not.
Twinking with your
I have to get Miley Cyrus to do the
twerking with your Twinkie. Anyway.
Miley Cyrus to do the bumper and grinding music on the...
I mean, the whole world is bizarre. I mean, it really is. It's like, this is the world that we live in. Come on. Get real.
You're right.
Yeah, the Dow up 54 points today at 17,068. The NASDAQ up 34 at 4586. And the S&P up 7 at 1955. And the 10-year yield keeps trending a little bit higher at 2.53%, up 0.03%. And there's tons of things to talk about, but first, we have Wendy Wilson talking about some very interesting information regarding pandemics.
Hello, Wendy. Melody. Hello, Al. How are you guys doing?
Just fine.
Awesome.
What you got for us for today?
Well, we got some interesting information from the Inspector General. The Inspector General, according to some reports from the Washington Examiner and a government watchdog group, well, the Department of Homeland Security, they're not prepared to deal with a massive pandemic. So according to the Inspector General's report, back in 06, the Department of Homeland Security received $47 million in government funds to be prepared for a pandemic. And you'd think 8 years would be long enough for the U.S. government to get, you know, procedures in place to help protect the nation from things like plagues. And you'd think that they'd have things like adequate personnel and equipment and medications, you know, that would be part of their plan in order for them to respond to a pandemic. So what have they been doing with all the money? Well, internet resources are saying they've purchased ammo and guns and tanks. Wrong kind of defense for the diseases, guys. You know what I'm saying?
They're going to shoot the disease. We're not going to actually cure them. We're going to shoot them.
Well, you're right about that. They may not be equipped to help us recover from disease. They'd be more equipped to help us they're more equipped to manage the mortality of the disease is basically it. But according to the Inspector General's report, the Homeland Security folks, they have no procedures in place to replenish necessary equipment or medicines because they have no inventory controls to monitor stockpiles. And they have no oversight procedures in place for compliance. It's kind of like, you know, the whole nation's on autopilot. No one's flying the plane.
But somebody's taking the money. The money's not just sitting in the bank account somewhere. It'll be interesting to see how it's in, where it's all gone.
Well, this is interesting. According to the Inspector General, this is what they have stockpiled. The Homeland Security folks have 16 million surgical masks. They have nearly 5,000 bottles of expired hand sanitizer. They have expired antiviral drugs. 81% of them expire in just a few months from now. And their protective equipment is on file, but the DHS doesn't know where it is, where it's located, and what's in stock. So, I know, I bet they'll find the Ark of the Covenant before they find that stuff.
Well, even if they do, what's interesting to me, what did they pay for these drugs and antiviral, I'm not sure what you call them, but just drugs for lack of
better word,
imprecision.
Yeah.
What did they pay for these knowing that they were expired or about to be expired? Was this a deal that essentially subsidized some pharmaceutical companies that had a ton of this stuff laying around, say, let's dump it on the government? The government said, sure, we'll buy your junk. Is that possible or not?
It's possible. I have no details on that particularly.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to wonder, you know, what's going on here, because the United States is woefully underprepared for this. And you have to ask why, because, you know, the last pandemic that killed Americans, 70,000 Americans were killed by the Asian flu in 1957. But the last devastating flu pandemic was in 1918, and 675 Americans died. So you have to wonder.
675,000.
675,000. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So do Americans believe the officials that we shouldn't be concerned? You know, Africa, look what they're going through, but they're an ocean away. The problem's not a real threat, right? Well,
except for four of them.
Well, the State Department.
Fukushima's an ocean away too, so we don't have to worry about that.
Well, listen, the State Department.
Right now, what we could look at, if it was on Mars, we could say, you know, it's a planet away. Okay, maybe we're safe. But right now, the way the world is, everything is so interconnected.
Oh, yeah, well, you just jump on a flight, you know, and there you are. Well, the State Department did order all U.S. families living in those regions of Africa and the U.S. Embassy personnel to leave the United States, but were they screened first? That's a question. So are Americans, I think they're putting too much trust in the government agencies, which are now ill-equipped. Let me read you this quote by Dr. Barbara Kunst. She's the CDC's prevention response team supervisor. She says this: the Ebola epidemic has demonstrated how one disease can cause a whole country to go into crisis. The Ebola outbreak has just driven home the inadequacy that's there. Well, Dr. Kunz, the inadequacy is here in the United States, too. You know, because those doctors, they were flown back over here. They got primo treatment. They were given, you know, supposedly experimental drugs, and they got better. But what about the masses? You know, we can't afford all that. You know what I'm saying? We're not doctors. We're not going to get that kind of treatment.
It's true.
And then, of course, we have this mystery Entera virus, the EVD68, which is kind of spreading across. Right now we have hundreds of kids in hospitals in Missouri, Colorado, Kansas, Utah, and other states. And patients, you know, it starts out with a cold, flu symptoms, but then it quickly gets critical. And kids are in the emergency rooms, and then they're in the intensive care units for about a week. And basically it's hitting the youth pretty hard and those with asthma. And doctors really don't know what to do about it. Infectious disease, epidemiologists, pediatricians, they haven't seen the like. They don't know what this is. You know what? And here's the thing. Do you suppose this could be from a lab-created virus or a mutated virus from flu vaccines? Or do you suppose it's a new disease imported by illegal immigrants? Think about it.
Well, there's a bunch of things that can be. We can speculate on it. But it all illustrates, what can we do about a pandemic? As we become, the population grows larger and more concentrated in the big cities. Is it true that there's any effective defense against a possible pandemic? If we don't know it's going to start next week, is there anything we can do?
Yes, there is. You know, because obviously pathogens don't respect borders, okay, state or country, okay? So they're going to spread. And even Richard Besser, ABC's medical editor, he says these viruses will spread. If it's not in your state now, it will be. So now's the time for people to start, you know, prepping and start thinking of a plan. Obviously, we need a plan. And we're going to have to just not only fight off viruses, we're going to have to be our own warriors. You know, Heraclitus, he's a Greek philosopher, 495 BC, and he said, one out of every 100 men, 10 shouldn't be there, 80 are just targets, 9 are real fighters, and we're lucky to have them because they make the battle. Ah, but the one is the warrior. He'll bring the others back. So we're all going to have to start this warrior mentality for our health and for everything else. So I think people are just going to have to power up, you know, keep their health in check, you know, stay away from the sugar. Sugar lowers your immune system for a full 8 hours. So it makes you vulnerable to these things. So definitely check the diet. And I do recommend boosting immune systems with herbs. And there's herbs out there that offer adaptogen profiles, which helps your immune system adapt and make antibodies faster for these pathogens that are mutating. And there's also herbs out there that will help your body manufacture more killer T cells or macrophages. So that's the white part of, that's your white blood cells coming from your bone marrow. So you want to have healthy bones. There's a whole slew of things people can do to really strengthen their system against these things, and I encourage them to do that.
But the point is that if you want to be protected against a possible pandemic,
mm-hmm.
It's pretty much up to each individual to provide that protection as best they can, because it is at least improbable that the government even can prevent against a pandemic. They may be able to minimize it or mitigate it once it's started up, but what can government really do? I mean, this, when you talk about a pandemic, something that strikes hundreds of thousands or even millions of people at the same time, it's certain that our system is not devised to deal with that kind of problem.
Obviously,
right?
Not.
And it can't be. It can't be devised, because if it does, it means we're going to have a couple hundred thousand nurses standing around at empty beds waiting on the off chance a pandemic happens. We can't be ready for a pandemic, except on an individual basis. If you believe a pandemic is coming, then it's up to you to do what you think you can to
to protect yourself and your family.
Well, take the folks over in Ebola. What are the doctors and nurses doing for folks there? Well, they're giving them drugs to stop the diarrhea and vomiting so they won't dehydrate and flush all those minerals and nutrients out of the body, which they need to fight the illness. So they're trying to help their immune system fight it on its own because they don't have anything. So your immune system is going to be your best friend in the near future.
Yeah,
so
it'll be your only chance. It will be your only chance. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, and things like Ebola and some of these other viruses, what they do is deplete you of a lot of minerals and nutrients like vitamin C and zinc. So you want to make sure you have replacing those elements in the system to power up that immunity. So we do have pandemic kits, Al, at thepowerherbs.com. We have things for a budget, too. If you can't afford the whole kit, you can get things like the synergistic effect of the three amigos, which is a super immune boost in trio. We have an all-in-one tonic, which is very broad spectrum, that you could use as well. Really does heighten the immune system, but doesn't overstimulate it. So you can use it like a preventive and keep those viruses away. So there's lots of options, and of course, always good health and exercise and clean water, and use your immune boosting herbs. That's what I'm doing.
Let me ask you this: you have a program for preventative herbs, vitamins. How often do you take them? For example, let's suppose I ordered a pandemic kit.
Right.
Do I take it now in anticipation of there might be a pandemic in the next 90 days, 180 days? How long does it protect me? Or do I wait until the pandemic begins and then I take it? Or do I take it now and also have some on hand in the event the pandemic does come up? You know, we're getting into a certain amount of prophecy here.
Right. Well, pandemic kits, I would have one on hand. They have a shelf life of 10 years. And then you can also pick and choose what items you want to use for prevention or for when you're sick and you want to get over something really quickly. So if you hear of a pandemic in your local area, you want to start using it as soon as you hear an announcement. Okay, so you crack open your pandemic kit then. But you should have some things on the side that you could use intermittently from now on to heighten immune system. You can have certain things on hand for sinus, for pneumonia, for flu and cold. But I would reserve your kit if you can. If you can afford to have one in reserve, I would have one in reserve.
You've said if you can afford to have one. Do we have to hold up a bank in order to get one of these kits? How expensive are they?
No. The kits are around $200. They service two adults for about 10 days. So it's enough to get you through the first 10 days of a pandemic, which is really the critical time. So I would definitely have one on hand. A lot of people will order one for each and every family member, and that way they double their time with it. So that's fine, too. It's in a portable case, and I have had people that have bought one, Al, and then the cold and flu hits, and they crack it open, they use it for the cold and flu, which is just fine, and they can replenish and just get a refill for the kit, and that's an option, too.
All right, but increasingly, we have to take responsibility. I mean, this is the way the world is functioning right now, and it's consistent with the fundamental theme of financial survival. It's up to you to provide for your own financial survival. It's up to you to provide for your own health survival. Right? You can't count on other people or institutions to take care of you.
Because they're not.
So let me ask you another question about sugar. When you say if you take sugar, it suppresses your immune system for 8 hours.
Yeah.
Are we only talking about how much? Are we talking about a teaspoon of sugar? Are we talking about, did I eat a whole birthday cake? What are we talking about?
Well, if you ate a candy bar. Okay, that's enough sugar. That's enough sugar to suppress your immune system for 8 or more hours. If you go to a party, holiday season's coming real quickly. People will have, mixed drinks, soda. One cup of soda can suppress your immune system for about 8 hours as well, because there's like a third of a cup of sugar per can of soda. So sugar really is a detrimental has a lot of impact on that immune system, so don't shut it off. I mean, watch the sugar this time of year. This is why people always wind up getting sick around the holidays, is because they overdo the sugar.
Here, I thought it was the credit card bills coming in. I guess that's not until January, though. All right. Wendy, thank you for your information and something for all of pandemic, something all of us need to be concerned about. Why don't you give us some contact information and
we'll be on our
merry way.
They can visit us online at thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com, or they can call toll-free at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, and ask for a free catalog.
Okay, Wendy, thanks very much. We look forward to talking to you next Wednesday. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Are you concerned about prescription drug dependency to stay healthy? Are you worried that the cost and availability of your medications may put your health at risk? Perhaps it's time you consider a natural, safe, and effective way to deal with your health problems. If only you knew where to start. Start right here. Tune in to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson every Tuesday and Thursday evening, 7 p.m. on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
Well, I like to follow the bullion sales, the mintage figures from the U.S. Mint on gold and silver eagles. It gives you an idea of, along with what the rest of the country is doing. And I talk to my buyers like David Krieger. You know, he always gives me an idea. And I also see prices on $20 gold pieces. That'll give you an idea that the demand and interest in gold and silver products. So the U.S. Mint, for the month of September so far, has sold 21,000 ounces of gold, which is almost at the same par as last month. Last month of August was 25,000. So shows that August was a very slow month, but the buying for September and 1 ounce Gold Eagle coins certainly has picked up significantly. And the same with silver. It shows for the month of September. So far, 780,000 silver eagles have been sold. And of course, last Monday was a holiday. So we're really only looking at 9 days in the month. So I think we'll also beat August numbers for silver eagles. For August, there were a little over 2 million. July, there was
just shy. About the same rate as.
So yeah, it should be a little bit higher.
About a third.
It should be, yeah, it'll come in close, probably a little bit higher, but the Gold Eagles was certainly, so it looks like it switched from silver buying to gold buying, so I always find that as interesting. And for all our specials, we're continuing with our specials that we've been having, the Mint State 62 $20 gold pieces. We've actually lowered that price a little bit today by $14.90 is the price on Mint State 62 $20 gold pieces. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And our website, dgscoins.com. DGS for discount gold silver coins.com. And something else I found interesting for the past couple of weeks, I've had more and more people that are coming back into the market. They told me it's like, well, we needed a break. And I find that interesting. They see things are beginning to become a little bit, it's concerning them. Maybe they felt there was a cooling off period to where maybe, you know, with the Wall Street numbers going up and maybe a little bit of a, maybe the quiet before the storm. And so people are coming back into the market to where they've taken a little bit of a break. So I find
coming back in because the price is down.
No, I don't think that's the reason. I think it's more they needed a break, and I think that's why we've seen a lack of interest for, you know, through the summer. We had the summer doldrums, and you know, hey, for the past especially the past year, we saw big numbers move in the stock market, and you know, people become they get interested in other things.
Yep.
But certainly with things that are being heated up out of Washington and overseas, and wars and rumors of wars, it certainly is bringing a little more caution and interest back into the gold market. So I find that interesting.
There's another. I've got an article here from MarketWatch.com, and the headline is "Opinion: Almost no one believes the stock market will fall." Now this is interesting to me. It says everyone believes the U.S. stock market has reached a permanently high plateau. Everyone, that is, except for the bears. That would be people like myself who think it's due for a significant decline. Last week's Investors Intelligence Survey shows bearish sentiment at its lowest since 1987. Only 13% of the public agree, 13.3% of the public agree with people like myself who think that the market is due for a significant decline. And it goes on, it says, in fact, short sellers have nearly disappeared along with a few remaining bears. In addition, the VIX, which is the fear index, minus 3.11%, 3.11%, is at historic lows. It's down. Minus 3.1%. It's at historic lows near 12, which reflects investor complacency. Put another way, almost no one believes this market will go down. Now, the reason that's interesting to me is because we've talked on the program for several years off and on. We bring it, remind people that the key to investing, the fundamental strategy, is you buy low and you sell high. You know, you buy something at $100, you sell it at $200, and you make a $100 profit. You don't buy it at $200, sell it at $100. You don't buy high and sell low. It's just a fundamental strategy. It's obvious. It's undeniable. This is the way you do it if you're going to make a profit. You've got to buy low and sell high. When you buy low, you are buying at a time. You're buying an investment at a time when virtually everyone says that's not going to work. That's stupid. That's crazy. It can't be. The world agrees that the investment you're looking at makes no sense. All right? That's time to buy low. All right? Assuming you've picked a wise investment in the first place. But one of the hallmarks of buying low will be everybody tells you it's stupid. All right? We're not doing that. Nobody does that, you know. Okay, that's the time to get in. The flip side of that is when you sell high, you sell when everyone believes that the market can only go higher. And when everyone is in it and they're all convinced that it's got to go, it's going higher, it's got to go higher. Well, that's where we are right now. We are at a situation where the majority sentiment is for bearishness, believing the market's going to go down. That's at record low, lowest since 1987. And the fear index is also at historic lows, near 12. Again, indicates that people are convinced this market cannot be beat. Well, historically, that's a warning sign. And it's historically, it's been an indication that now is the time to get out when everyone is sure. If you're going to buy low and sell high, if you're going to sell high, it's when everyone is sure this thing is going higher and higher and higher, and we are at record highs in terms of sentiment that's convinced that the market's going higher. This is not to say that the market can't go higher. I'm not making that prediction per se, but I'm saying that historically the sentiment, you buy low, you sell high, you've got to sell into this kind of market sentiment.
What's so hard in today's world, and you know, that VIX report, I mean, heck, it was just a couple months where it was at an all-time high. You know, the fear was great. Well, so, I mean, that is very volatile as far as that index go. And, you know, you can, you know, write on it to make it support whatever you're saying. But, you know, it's difficult. And that's why so many of these opinions, that's why I keep telling the folks, you know, forget opinions, go back to the fundamentals. There isn't anything there. We go over this day in and day out on every day on this program. What is holding the stock market up? Where does it show, and where is all this wealth coming from? It's being created. It's not real. And
it's a fantasy is what we're dealing with. Now, people may not mind that it's a fantasy because for the moment it works. The fantasy is that the Federal Reserve can maintain artificially low interest rates, which allow major financial institutions to borrow money at cheap prices to buy stocks. All right, that's part of what's holding up. The other part that's holding up is the Federal Reserve and other central banks are actually buying into the markets. And by virtue, according to ZeroHedge.com, they had an article out. They guesstimate that the central banks of the world have spent about $27 trillion on various stock markets, buying into stock markets around the globe. All right, $27 trillion. The stocks are being maintained by this artificial stimulus. Now, the question is, you know, what is the value of a stock that's artificially inflated in price? What's the real value? But that's one person that we look at it from a realistic perspective and say, look, these things are bubbles. They're balloons. They're going to pop. But other people are looking at it and say, we don't care if it's a bubble or a balloon. It's making money right now. All right? We don't care if it's fantasy. So what if the Federal Reserve is supporting it? We're still making money. The question becomes, how long can the Federal Reserve and other central banks continue to support and stimulate the stock markets here in the United States and around the world? How long can that continue? And there has to be an end on it. How long can they maintain artificially low interest rates? How long can they ignore inflation? Right? And those are two components of what's happening right now. The government is ignoring inflation. They say it's less than 2%. People look around, they say, no, it's 8, 9%. Some people think 10%. At the point in time when the public starts screaming about inflation and they realize they're being robbed, not by 1.8%, but by maybe 8%, all right, 4 or 5 times higher than what the government alleges, when they realize this and they begin to scream about it, they realize that their pensions are being looted, that their savings accounts are being looted, that their salaries and their wages are being looted by inflation. If and when they start to complain about it, the government's going to have to do something. And when it put, if it has to put a cork in inflation or at least reduce it, one of the things they'll also have to do is raise interest rates. Part of the problem we're facing right now, the Federal Reserve has designed this stimulus system, low interest rates, high and relatively high inflation rates that are being concealed, ignored, denied. But they can't continue. Why would anyone want to loan money to an average American if you know the inflation rate, in fact, is 8% and the interest rate is 2 or 3? You're going to lose 5% a year on that loan. No one wants to do it. They're going to take their money and invest it in foreign countries. They won't invest into this market. It will diminish the supply of capital in this country. Low interest rates have to be chasing capital out of this country. And it's like they say we have low interest rates. Hooray, hooray, the interest rates are low. It's like me advertising that I'm going to sell Cadillacs for $5,000, new Cadillacs for $5,000 each. And people say, what a deal. Yeah, only problem is I don't have any. But I do have a 1963 Dodge over here, and I got a couple of Chevys from the 1970s. How about those? You want to buy those instead? You know, the government can't continue to maintain artificially low interest rates, particularly interest rates that are below the inflation rates. It can't be sustained without robbing creditors blatantly and forcing the creditors to invest their money in countries outside the United States. They're getting away with it for right now, but sooner or later it's got to end. And when it does, interest rates go up, inflation rates will have to be addressed. Whether they'll go down or not remains to be seen, but interest rates are going to have to go up. And when that happens, stock market is going to go bye-bye.
Yeah, I mean, I briefly heard, I don't have the numbers in front of me, so I shouldn't even bring this up, but I briefly heard, I believe it was the numbers for new mortgage applications have dropped unbelievably. And, of course, they blamed it on the increase of the rate. And I'm thinking to myself, the rate has barely budged. And they're blaming that on the rise of interest rates for the drop in these mortgage applications. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're going to scramble and try to tag anything to make some sort of sense. And of course, we know it doesn't make sense because it's not real. And am I the only one who is questioning the beginning of the European Central Bank, their plans to buy asset-backed securities, their stimulus, the same as what Bernanke did, that they're beginning theirs at the same time ours is ending? Coincidence?
Oh, it's not coincidence.
No, it isn't.
They believe that this is it's evidence. I think it's just evidence of desperation. I don't think they know what else to do. It can't be sustained indefinitely, but you got to give them credit. They've sustained it for a while. A lot of people, they think they can sustain it indefinitely. If they can, they have essentially created a money tree. And we can just harvest money off the tree, and none of us have to work anymore. We'll just harvest money off the tree and go buy stuff. No one has to work. We don't have to make things. We can just buy things. The whole thing is stupid. It's lunacy. I think it's Say's Law. He was a philosopher, economist back maybe in the 1600s, something like that. And he realized that all purchases are ultimately based on trading things. I've got to produce something, all right? Even if it's only conversation on a radio show, I've got to produce something in order to trade what I produce for what other people produce, which includes groceries and automobiles and homes and so on. You've got to produce something. It's not just a matter of having cash. If it were, we could get by with monopoly money. And to some degree, that's what we've been doing, getting by with monopoly money. But we have to ask ourselves, how much longer can this monopoly system function? How much longer can this fantasy system function in denial of fundamental principles? Now, I'm one of the bears that are sitting back and say, I don't think it can last a lot longer. But, you know, the article says virtually everyone else, 87%, disagree. They say, yeah, it can go on forever. Let the good times roll. All right, at least in the stock markets. And I disagree. I don't think it's possible. I don't think it's reasonable, rational. I don't even think it's fair. Part of the cost of the stock market going up is a measure of inflation that's been denied and concealed. It's running 8, 9, maybe 10%. It's being ignored and concealed by the government, who claims it's only maybe 1.8%. That 8 or 9% inflation is robbing people. Those of you that have a job, you took a job for $50,000 a year, you're going to get $45,000, and by the end of the year, you'll be earning at the rate of $45,000 in terms of take-home pay. You'll still get $50,000, but you'll only be able to buy $45,000 worth of things. Thanks to inflation, you're being robbed. Those of you who have money in the savings account, pensions accounts, right? You're going to be robbed. Frank, the piano player, is insisting that our talk about robbery come to an end. So I guess we've got to listen to some commercials now. I'm Alfred Addis, here with Melody Cederstrom, and we will be back on Financial Survival in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku-band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. The program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. For your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
Well, you know, there's a lot of commentary today on what Obama is going to outline, the war against ISIS. There's, of course, a lot of speculation today on what's going to be said, what's not going to be said, what they hope for that he does say and doesn't say. And, of course, probably some of it is, you know, some of it has already been filtered out as far as what he's going to say. And certainly a lot of it is just speculation. So we were talking during the break about, airstrikes on Syria and also Iraq. I believe there, I read the number where there was, what, 157 airstrikes since the beginning of August, which, you know, breaking it down, I guess on an every day, it's what, you know, doesn't seem like very many, but.
Well, it's 40. You're talking maybe 4 days, something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
4 airstrikes a day. I'm sure it's significant if you're being bombed. I mean, if they have 1 airstrike a day, it doesn't concern me unless it happens to be on the house I'm living in which case I'm very concerned about the 1 airstrike per day. And apparently, Obama's going to think about, he's going to argue in favor of bombing ISIS rebels in Syria. Is that true? Or is that suspected to be true?
Well, that's the speculation. That's what they think that he will address.
Well, as you pointed out, it makes for a real interesting situation. We were trying to overthrow Assad just recently. 6 months ago, we were determined to overthrow Assad. And we were supporting ISIS rebels, giving them financial support or training and or weapons. And now that they've taken their little battle into Iraq, now we're bombing ISIS rebels in Iraq and getting ready to bomb them in Syria where we previously supported them. And as a result, we're actually working to defend President Assad of Syria, which puts us, at least insofar as we are bombing the ISIS rebels, it puts us in a kind of alliance with Russia, who we're bumping heads with in the Ukraine, because Russia wants to support President Assad. So, now that everyone understands this, or do we? Does anybody understand it? Do you know, I mean, the whole thing, there's a kind of madness in all of this. And you look at it and you sit back and say, good God. You know, the only thing you know for sure is which way the guns are pointing, if you can see them. You know? And you're hoping they're not pointed at you. But other than that, this whole thing is chaos. Who the people we supported 6 months ago were bombing today, the people we wanted to bomb 6 months ago, we are supporting today. We're arguing with Russia and Ukraine at the same time we are implicitly agreeing with Russia and Syria. People have complained that President Obama has admitted that he doesn't have a coherent policy for dealing with whatever is going on in the world right now. He has no coherent.
He don't have a clue.
Political policy.
He doesn't have a clue.
That no unifying vision. He's, well, let's try this. And over here, we'll try this. We'll try some other things. And it winds up being contradictory, stupid, self-destructive. It's difficult. The world is so complex and no longer unipolar or even bipolar, right? Meaning it's no longer run by just the United States or the United States and the former Soviet Union. It's become complicated and incoherent. I don't know that anyone can necessarily devise a coherent policy right now that deals with the whole world, that maybe it's time that we don't deal with the whole world. Maybe it's time to just pull in our horns and say, look, here's the deal. We're going to go live in the United States of America, and if you leave us alone, we leave you alone. But if you mess with us, we're going to send you right back into the Stone Age. Bet on it, right? Other than that, you leave us alone, we leave you alone. We can perhaps eliminate our exposure to the global madness by simply withdrawing and say, to hell with it. We'll keep this country running, and the rest of it is, you know, devil take the hindmost. That's your problem. We aren't going to worry about you anymore. And I think there are reasons to be skeptical or wary of that recommendation. And yet, I think we're going there. I think we have to go there. We don't have the money to continue to be the world's policeman. The whole place is nuts anyway. It's like being the policeman in a madhouse. Right? How do you jail the crazy people? You're not just dealing with criminals, you're dealing with insane people. And the Muslims are classic in that. I don't know how many people appreciate that the Muslims have been, that first off, the Prophet, this is a couple of studies in the last 2 years. Prophet Muhammad married his first cousin. And therefore, Muslim men and women have sought to emulate the Prophet Muhammad's example. And for 1,500 years, they've been marrying their first cousins. Now, this kind of inbreeding has been prohibited within the Jewish and Christian faiths for centuries. It's been extolled in the Muslim faith for centuries. And the result, according to a couple of studies, is that the Muslims they've compromised their genetic pool. Their gene pool has been so compromised by inbreeding that they tend to low IQs, mental illness, physical deformities, right? They are, and this is an extraordinary indictment of their faith. Because to be Muslim and to believe that Allah is the God and that he's now taking care of the Muslim people is belied by the fact that the Muslim people are impaired by their faith. Not a little bit, a lot. So what are we doing? We're giving guns to people who have a genetic predisposition for mental illness, a genetic predisposition for low IQs, and we're going to give them guns. And that's part of the deal in Syria. We're going to bomb ISIS, but apparently we're going to arm some of the other rebels. No. You understand that?
I know.
This is like some sort of Italian marriage, you know, that you can't get out of. You can't stand this, your spouse. You can't stand your in-laws, and yet you're trapped. And in one of these, and we're going to have divorce Italian style. That's what we're having in the Middle East right now. Bomb the good rebels and arm the bad, or excuse me, bomb the bad rebels and arm the good rebels. All right, and who can tell the difference? You know, you're going to give weapons to these people in the Middle East. I guarantee you, you're going to find those weapons pointed at you before this is all over. I don't care if you're giving them slingshots or nuclear weapons. Sooner or later, you're going to find those weapons pointed at you. So, we live in interesting times.
It certainly does. So tune in, folks. And
stay tuned. Stay tuned for the, I don't know. It's one of those things. A lot of people believe that, you know, end times are here. A lot of people believe that they may be nearly here. A lot of people believe that the end times concept is crazy. But, you know, you look around and you look at you see what's happening, what was predicted in the Bible. And it's not as if I'm a biblical scholar, because I'm not. I read the Bible, I pay attention to it, but I'm not a scholar, I'm a student. But still, you look at it and you say, holy cow, it really does look like it. I mean, you can't look around and just, well, it's all just coincidence. You know, in the Bible they talk about that, I believe, a third of the seas, the oceans, and a third of the fish are going to be gone. Might be half, it might be a third, I don't remember the exact number. That seems impossible. How could that happen? And now we've got Fukushima. Fukushima has perhaps, according to some people deny it, some people say it's happening, Fukushima's perhaps compromising, maybe helping to destroy much of the fish in the North Pacific. I've heard one report, and I don't know it to be true. I've heard a report. Who knows? The day there's so much information that you need to be a wizard in order to determine whether what you're hearing is true or false. I've heard one report that the salmon didn't come back to spawn this year up in Alaska, British Columbia, and so on.
I told you that, Al.
Mm-hmm.
I told you that, and I heard that from my client in Fairbanks, Alaska.
This is apparently a true story. Apparently, this is a first. This is not inconsistent with the idea of end times, and a third of the fish disappear. if it's a true story, if this is an accurate report, it might be that it's exaggerated. Maybe who knows? 50%.
I understand,
but you still got to accept the possibility that, you know, maybe you don't have. Even so, we are getting close to something of the kind that it was prophesied in the Bible, and that has to, you know, alert people. You got to sit back and say, "Holy cow, what's going on here?" We really do live in interesting times there. And if it's true, we're going into end times. Good Lord, who knows? You know, it's not going to be fun. So, what else, Melody?
I believe we have Jim from West Virginia on the line.
Well, Jim.
Perhaps.
Well, he was on the line. He was on the line, but now apparently he's not on the line. So, all right, so what's next?
Well, yeah, we've got, I saw an interesting report today. We're going to switch, you know, we look for signs and numbers to show the listeners, to tell the listeners how, you know, things really aren't as good as they say. And again, this is on the education. We talked about that earlier in this week. Climbing tuition, college savings. 40 million Americans now have at least one outstanding student loan. That's up from 29 million consumers just since 2008. Yeah. Borrowers are carrying roughly 4 student loans each, up from less than 3 in 2008. And the average balance has increased to $29,000 from $23,000. So we're looking at the student loan debt to an all-time record of $1.2 trillion, and that's an 84% jump since 2008.
Do you know what $1.2 trillion is equal to? $1.2 trillion in student debt, do you know what that's equal to?
Tell us, Al.
It's about the size of the amount of money that the government also owes China. And people sit back and they say, oh my God, you know, if China decided they were going to default on the loan or something, if China, excuse me, decided that they were going to sell off all their T-bills and whatever else, they could collapse the dollar. Well, China has their, whether China would do that or not is questionable, but we have these kids that are carrying these loans that are equivalent in size, and they may not have the means to repay the $1.2 trillion. And what's going to happen then? You know, they pose a threat that's as potentially as great as that of China dumping all its treasuries.
There's also a segment of those borrowers of student loans are older people. And that group, Americans ages 65 to 74, 4% in 2010 carried federal student loans. And that's up from 1% 6 years earlier. So you're having older folks that are beginning to have these student loans. For all seniors, the collective amount of student loan debt grew from $2.8 billion in 2005 to over $18 billion last year. So, you know, you're talking about another segment of that who, you know, most likely they'll all die before they pay off their loans.
Well, I understand. Well, unless they get a pandemic kit from Wendy Wilson, apothecary herbs. That may keep them going. In part, the increase in tuition and whatever reflects just kind of welfare. People have been unemployed, didn't have a job. What am I going to do? Well, they'll pay me to go to college. Yep. If I borrow the money, I'm effectively making enough money to support myself. It was one option. We are out of options because we're out of time right now. We'll be back tomorrow. I want to thank all of you for listening. Melody and I will see you tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
All night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.
In my dreams, I have a plan. If I got me a
Money, money, always sunny in a rich man.